President Biden is asking Congress for an additional $33 billion to help Ukraine fend off Russia's invasion. The money is expected to last for 5 months. It would be a big boost to U.S. efforts to bolster Ukraine in an intensifying war that's showing no signs of ending anytime soon.
The cost of this fight is not cheap, but caving to aggression is going to be more costly if we allow it to happen. We either back Ukrainian people as they defend their country, or we stand by as the Russians continue their atrocities and aggression in Ukraine. Every day the Ukrainians pay for the price, and the price they pay is with their lives for this fight. So we need to contribute arms, funding, ammunition, and the economic support to make their courage and sacrifice have purpose, so they can continue this fight.
Biden's proposal has more than $20 billion in military assistance for Ukraine and for bolstering defenses in nearby countries. The package includes $8.5 billion in economic and $3 billion in humanitarian aid. Biden is also seeking new powers to seize and repurpose the assets of Russian oligarchs. The package is more than twice as large as last month's initial $13.6 billion in military and economic aid for Ukraine, which is now almost exhausted. At the Pentagon, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said the new military aid includes advanced air weapon systems, including long-range surface-to-air systems to defend against Russian attempts to seize the eastern Donbas region of Ukraine.
What will be decisive in this next fight is long-range fires. These are the kinds of things that they are requesting. You know, they believe that long-range fires will be key in their efforts going forward. And so we are moving as quickly as we possibly can to provide them those capabilities.
Austin did not repeat his controversial statement of earlier this week that the U.S. wished to see Russia so weakened it would not be able to mount a similar attack in the future. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov warned Monday night that the U.S. and the West are engaging in a proxy war with Russia, and he ominously added there are no winners in a nuclear war. President Biden today rejected Lavrov's comments.
They're not true. They do concern me, because it shows the desperation that Russia is feeling about their abject failure in being able to do what they set out to do in the first instance. So it's number one, it's an excuse for their failure. But number two, it's also, if they really mean it, no one should be making idle comments about the use of nuclear weapons or the possibility they need to use that. It's irresponsible.
Another reporter pressed Biden on the point.
They say that this is not a proxy war, but Russia clearly disagrees. They say that war means war. So how concerned are you that they may start to act accordingly, even if you disagree?
We are prepared for whatever they do.
With no new negotiations planned, both sides are digging in for a long conflict with frightening scenarios. Anatol Levin is a senior fellow at the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. He told Democracy Now! That if Russia were to attack supply routes in Poland, which is a NATO member, there could be irresistible pressure in the U.S. to establish precisely the no-fly zone Ukraine was asking for at the beginning of the conflict. Levin says that likely would lead to direct conflict between Russia and the U.S.
American planes would then be shot down and pilots killed by missile batteries based in Russia itself, which can cover most of Ukrainian territory. How long then would it be before America would start attacking those batteries in Russian territory? You then have a situation in which the United States and Russia were, or at least the United States and NATO, were firing missiles into each other's territory. You know, two nuclear armed superpowers with the ability between them to destroy humanity. You know, that is precisely the scenario that generations of US presidents during the Cold War took very great care to avoid. Because the risks are too great.
Levin says the minimum that Russian President Putin may need to claim that his disastrous war has been a victory may be the capture of eastern Ukraine's Donbas region. He says if Russia were successful, Putin might at that point seek a negotiated settlement to end the war. But Levin says a U.S. strategy of using the war in Ukraine to weaken Russia is completely incompatible with the search for a ceasefire or even a provisional peace settlement. I'm Eileen Alfandary for Pacifica Radio.